Paul was a missionary, Paul was a preacher, and Paul was also a pastor at one time. Most importantly, what I'm trying to get at is where the Apostle Paul was saved. He was a lost sinner just like me and you were. He was a born sinner just like me and you were. And even after he was saved and born again, he had battles and he had troubles. And it didn't end there just because he was saved. Like, they'll never end for us. It's the battles and troubles in our life. And I doubt they ever will, brothers and sisters, you know. In the scripture it writes, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Now, our main battle and our wrestle we wrestle with is not against people, other men and women. Whether they're saved or not saved, they're not the reason why it stops us from witnessing other people. They're not the reason why what stops us from spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're not the reason at all. Other people are not responsible for why we don't pray like we should. Other people really don't have the power to discourage us and to keep us down and to make us discouraged. Other people are not to blame why we don't read our Bible, why we don't have time to read our Bible. It's really not anybody's fault. You know, but there is another force out there that has a lot to do directly with the problems and troubles us Christians face. And this evil force out there, we are so very quick to forget that it even exists because we can't see it. And this evil force I'm talking about is this demonic and satanic force that's around us at all times, every day and every minute. The demonic forces of principalities, demonic forces of rulers of darkness, the demonic forces of spiritual wickedness in high places. And what I'm referring to is Satan and his fallen angels. That's what I'm talking about. And our real battle on earth isn't a physical one either. Our real battle is not against people of flesh and blood. It's also not the things that we can see and hear. It's not a battle of the things we can physically touch either. Our real battle in this world is a spiritual one. And it's a spiritual warfare. It's the battle of the things we cannot hear, the things we cannot see, and the things we cannot touch. That's the real battle that we're going through every day. Whether we're at work, whether we're at home, whether we're on our way to church, we're going home from church.
Right.
This is a spiritual warfare I'm talking about that all of us born-again Christians go through. And I'm pretty sure we'll go through it, you know, until rapture comes, you know.
Right.
In our world today, there's plenty of evidence of Satan's demons in our society, everywhere in our culture. You can see it, you can hear it. It can be seen everywhere, from the false doctrine that's flooded churches, from the false beliefs that's flooded our world. Our once mighty country and world have been so deceived, and it's so evident when we look at TV, see in the movies, when you see the media and internet. Everywhere you go, we're reminded of this sick, demonic force that has really taken over this world. And it's just getting worse by the day. I see it every day as I work. You know, I see it everywhere I go, and I'm pretty sure all y'all do. Every day I hear the news and see how much worse things are getting. They're not getting any better, and I doubt they will. I pray they will. And it's sickening to see that people believe in things that don't even exist way more than they do in these demons in the spiritual realm. And the things that a lot of people believe in, which is, I can't even believe, it's just so, doesn't make sense. For example, so many people believe in, like, aliens from another planet. They believe in aliens from outer space. But none of that stuff exists. No one's ever seen these things, but yes, they have so much faith in it that it's out there, and they believe that it is there and exists. And they believe with all their heart, which is very sad. They believe way more in stuff like that than they do in the birth and death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is terrible. And I believe the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ happened because the Bible says so. And nowhere in this Bible does it mention anything about aliens or any creatures from another planet or all throughout the universe or solar system or whatever. It says nothing about that in this Bible. But one thing it does speak about is demons. And it's real. And like I said again, we're so quick to forget that it exists just because we can't see it physically. And we can't touch them. We don't hear them. Most people don't anyways. Now the Bible refers to these demons by many names in the Bible. A couple examples are devils, unclean spirits, familiar spirits, evil spirits, and seducing spirits. And in Luke chapter 8, verse 2, the Bible speaks of a certain woman who was healed of the evil spirits and infirmities, and out of whom went seven devils. So the Bible is clear that these do exist, these demons, these evil spirits, these unclean spirits. If you would, please turn to Mark chapter 5. I'm going to read a passage out of Mark chapter 5 that really explains and talks about these demons that really do exist. All right. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of Gadarenes. And when he came out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee, by God, that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus came to them in a leap. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city, in the country, and they went out to see what was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion, sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to them, and was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he had that had been possessed with the devil prayed that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. Now this man was possessed with many demons. It refers to him being possessed with many demons as a legion. He said, My name is Legion. Back in old Roman days, a legion consisted of about 6,000 soldiers. So this man was possessed with a large number of demons that were so evil that caused him to do things he didn't want to do. And they caused him a lot of pain. And they also were controlling and had a lot of influence on him. You know, I got to thinking the other day and imagining, what if we could see the spiritual warfare that's going on around us? What if we could see the war that's going on around us right now as I speak? I bet our minds would be blown away. Can you imagine? What if we could see this battle between these angels and these demons that are trying to keep us down, discourage us, keep us unmotivated and depressed, keep us from witnessing to people, keep us from inviting people to church, and trying to keep us from praying and trying to keep us from reading our Bible? That people everywhere would take the spiritual warfare that's going on around us much more serious. They could see it and not act like it's a fable and doesn't exist. Because I know for a fact, I've been in circles with people where all day long they'll talk about aliens, they'll talk about things that don't exist, fairy tales, and they'll believe in it. But the minute you start talking about demons, angels, they think you're telling a fable that doesn't exist, but they're wrong because the Bible says so. you know, during one of the morning messages two Sundays ago, Pastor was preaching about, he mentioned, made a mention of a guardian angel and guardian angels that protect them. And I wouldn't be surprised if God sent a whole legion of angels just to protect them, that are assigned to him at all times, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Then at the same time, there's probably a whole legion of demons of different ranks, of principalities as well, that are sent to attack him as well. Just like all of us, probably. I can't prove that. Maybe one day we're in heaven, we'll be able to figure all this out and see it. Please pray for our pastor. I just want to say that out there, because, you know, he does a lot for us, and also pray for each other, because we're all under attack all the time.
Yes.
What I'm trying to get at is that none of us are immune to these attacks of the devil and his demons. Just because we're saved, just because we're committed to this church, we're not immune at all, okay? Nothing in the Bible says in our Christian walk, are we not going to have struggles? Are we not going to fight with our flesh? Are we not going to have these battles with these demons? And, you know, never says anything like that, you know? Like what Brother Wade likes to say a lot, and I strongly agree with him 100%, that us right here at Glory Baptist Church, all of us who are saved, born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, we're all on Satan's radar, all times. I strongly believe that. The members of Glory Baptist Church, Parkwood Baptist Church, Calvary Baptist Church, any other church that believes in the true sound Bible doctrine that we believe in, it's going to be on Satan's radar. I just want to get through to y'all that this spiritual warfare that we go through is real and it exists. And it's evident in our lives, you know. We all go through things, and this has a lot to do with it. Now, Satan and his demons would do their best to get into our church, disturb the congregation, cause drama, and we need to be able to recognize it when it's happening. And it's sad, and it's not no excuse that we underestimate these powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness. We underestimate it. And you may ask, well, how do I? I believe that they're there. I believe they exist. I believe there is a spiritual warfare going on around me at all times. I don't underestimate them. You still may ask why. Well, it's in our actions how we show God that we underestimate these demons and Satan's power. It's in our personal decisions we make every day. It's how we limit God from protecting us like he can, and we limit what he can do for us. For example, is how we show that we underestimate them. We're not praying like we should. We're not praying without ceasing. We're not reading our Bibles like we should. We're not sticking to our family devotion time to God like we should. We're not uplifting each other like we should when one's feeling down. You know, we're not lifting each other up when one's feeling discouraged. Now, I'm guilty of this just as well. Everything I'm saying, I'm guilty of. But now, the reason why these fallen angels hate us so much, I can't back this up with scripture or anything, but I believe one reason why they hate us so much and are really out to attack us is because, unlike us, they can't repent. They can't go to heaven. They can't be saved. So I believe that's a motivation for them to keep attacking us. So we end up in the same place they're going to end up. But there is a way how we can, you know, fight the spiritual warfare battle. And it's pretty easy. It's not easy, but God gives us plenty of examples how to defend ourselves in this spiritual warfare. Read our Bibles more than we should. Make sure we come to church and fellowship. Make sure we're praying for one another. So, something we need to stick to, y'all. I don't know if y'all understand this or not, but some message passed.
As you think about what Brother Chris was saying about the battle,
the battle is real tonight, amen. And wanted us back to his scripture that he was at in Ephesians chapter 6. I think one of the most important factors of that scripture, verse 12, that he preached from here tonight was, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." And boy, I tell you, that's what we a lot of days are angry with. We ought to be mad at the devil tonight. We ought to be mad at Satan and the evilness. But yet tonight, I don't believe that much of our anger goes towards that, but goes towards flesh and blood. And tonight we find ourselves tonight angry or aggravated with those that are flesh and those that are blood. And that's just the ploy of the devil tonight. And so in part of what Brother Chris was saying tonight was that we are attacked. And we do have an enemy. And we have a great enemy tonight. And he would, Jesus said this to Peter. He said that he would, "I'm going to be praying for you, Peter." And he said, why? The reason why is because Satan would sift you as wheat. And that's what Satan wants to do with our lives, is just sift us as wheat. And that sifter would, the wheat would go in, and all the things that wasn't part of the wheat or profitable as the wheat is, it would go through that sifter and to the way, and even burned up. And so that's what Satan's saying that's what Jesus is saying to Peter. He said, "Well, Satan wants to sift you, make you as nothing, make you as something that's worthless and something that's not any good." And then we remind ourselves there where he says that the Satan is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And tonight we see that tonight, how a roaring lion, you know, never has a roaring lion ever done anything to harm you. But that roaring scares you, and it's fearful tonight. And you think of Satan being that roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But tonight, the fact of the matter is, without the help of the Lord, without the Holy Ghost of God, without the love of Jesus, without the Word of God, without the armor that God has given us to put on as soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would be devoured. And so I want to kind of just tonight kind of round this up to say, you know, don't think that spirits or evil spirits are not real, or that people are not demon-possessed. That's true. People do get possessed by the demon. Then people also get oppressed by the demons and by evil spirits. And I can say this tonight, that when you hear people say, "Well, you know, I've seen a chair raise up off the ground," or "I heard a voice," or "I seen a door just close," or "I was at home and my light just turned out." What in the world's all that about? Well, some of that can be maybe what you ate the night before. But then some of that also could be faulty electrical or just the wind or something like that of nature. But I can tell you also that is also real tonight. These things are not things I believe personally tonight of the evil spirits, and I believe of their powers, and I believe of their controls, and I believe that they're in the midst of our lives. And we find tonight that throughout Scripture, how they have affected people, how they have caused them to fall to throw themselves in fires. They cause themselves to take rocks and cut them, and to that we find themselves being naked and running through the tombs. And we find that about foaming out of the mouth, and we have found that they have people who have been full of the Spirit or been possessed by the Spirit has these traits of out of control and being angry. And so we find all through the Scripture all these characteristics of those that have been possessed or under control of Satan. But can I say tonight, if that just don't really be part of your life or part of where you are tonight, that we might forget about that. But there are people in our society, in our city, I believe probably in Stafford tonight, that are demon-possessed and that have demons who are in them and out of them and through them, who are controlling their lives and causing havoc and bringing forth trouble. But then I want to say on the other side, tonight, I believe there are a lot of people who have a lot of things because the devil's given them that things. A lot of times we want to think about, you know, beer drinkers or or drug addicts or homosexuals things of harlotry or fornicators or pushers or prostitutes. And we always want to say, well, the devil's really in that part. You know, devil's really got that part. But can I say, the devil's also in those who are high and rich and mighty and who are large too. And so the demons is not prejudiced. They're not at all looking for a certain person. They're not looking for certain things tonight. They're looking to, as the Bible says, that the God of this world has blinded their eyes so that they shouldn't see, or the glorious light of the Lord shouldn't shine in. Tonight, that's the whole purpose of those, is that the gospel cannot be seen and cannot be heard, so that they, souls, would die and go to hell because of the God of this world, who is Satan himself, has blinded their eyes tonight. So remember tonight, all that is the purpose of what Brother Chris has mentioned is that the gospel be hindered and the gospel not be seen and heard, so that men and boys and girls would die and go to hell. That's the whole purpose. Amen. And so we find that all through the scriptures how those battles have taken place. But remember, the ultimate purpose is that so folks won't see the Lord and they don't know they're a sinner and they won't be saved. Amen. And so we thank the Lord for His grace tonight. And then as you read on the story, and let's do that. We got a few minutes. And it says there in verse 12, but against principalities and against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. If you would study that out tonight, you'd find that the devil tonight, Satan, is organized as God is. And he has these captains, and he has these privates, they would call them. And they are in phases of our life tonight. There's demons that possess people, but that's all they do. And then there's demons in government, that's all they do. And then there's demons in high places, they're in the heavenlies, and that's all they do. And there's demons tonight who don't possess people, but they bring havoc to lives of people. And so all these are said right there, and we're not going to get into all that tonight, but they are organized. And they're not just thinking tonight that all they do is just fly around, or all they do is walk around, or all they do is just kind of hang around. Oh, no, that's not the case at all. They got orders from the God of this world. And as they get orders from Satan himself, they go out and they do as Satan says to do. And as he is the captain of them and as he is the leader of them, they do as he says to do. And where he says to go, they go. And as they say, as he says to do, they do. So they got great power tonight. If you can remind yourself that when Jesus was casting out demons, those demons said to Jesus, he said, Jesus, have you come to destroy us? Because see, demons know that time of destroying is coming. And so they do have some knowledge tonight. And so they're not just dumb demons and ignorant tonight, but they are ones who know. They know, I believe tonight, they know where you're weak at. I believe tonight, because the Bible says, don't give place unto the devil tonight. And so those things in your life where you're weak, and those things in your life where you kind of hesitate in, those things in your life, it may be a marriage. It may be child raising. It might be financial. It might be you have a liking of glitter things and things of gold tonight. Those things tonight where you are not going forward, or you're not in the fact that where you're pressing onward and you're not faithful in, or you're not convinced of, or you're not faithful of tonight. Well, that's giving place unto the devil, and he'll step right on in. And man, he will cause havoc and trouble. But I'm not one tonight to say that there's a devil under every rock. That's not true tonight. Every time something happens, I remember reading a book, and it said that if somebody's crazy, well, they have the devil, a crazy devil. And then they say, then I read, and they say, well, somebody who's drinking, they got a drinking devil. And then they got, you find they got a smoking devil, and they got a drug devil, and if for fat, you got a fat devil. I mean, I read this and I began to think, man, that this is crazy how everything that is going on in our lives, there has to be a devil behind it. That's not true. Do you know tonight there are three enemies? And one of the three is the devil. So you got two other enemies out there tonight that are opposing us. Your flesh and this world tonight. And they have lots of power. They have lots of strength. You can think about this for a moment. There's going to come a day when the devil is going to be bound into the pit for 1,000 years. And yet Jesus is still going to rule on this world with a rod of iron. Why is that? You would think, because see, we blame the devil on everything. And so tonight, if the devil's bound and Jesus is ruling as the Jesus, the reigner, then why would he have to have some sort of rod of iron? I'll tell you why. Because our flesh is so wicked. Because we are so ungodly and our hearts are so desperately wicked. And who can know it tonight that without the influence of the devil tonight, we are still as sorry as we were. And so, boy, we got to be careful to not tell the devil or give the devil credit where the credit's not due tonight. And so it may just be our own flesh. And so we find that in the Scripture it gives us some things. It says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. You know, Brother Chris is right tonight. We are under attack, and there are attacks, and there are things that you and I got to be careful of. But remember, the devil can't be in more than one place. Only God can do that. And so I have no idea where he's at. I believe tonight that he's probably tonight where his organization is, or where his corporate office is, where his seat is at. At one time, I believe it was in Babylon. I believe it may be a time in Rome. I'm not sure where that is tonight. We don't have that information, but he does have a seat, the seat of Satan. And so tonight he does have a place. He's not everywhere. So tonight we're not concerned about. He doesn't know everything. He's not all powerful. God is more powerful than he is, and God knows more than he knows. And tonight God's everywhere where he's not. And so we do have hope there. But in fact of this whole armor of God in the evil day, and so we do have an answer tonight. In other words, we're not out there just walking about knowing that our enemy is strong and our enemy is knowing and our enemy is very wise. But we do have an answer to our enemy tonight. And if you walk out here tonight and say that I don't believe we have an enemy, well then I had one guy say it like this, you're too crippled for crutches. Amen. And so we just pray that you know there's an enemy, but tonight there is a way for us to fight this battle. And so we find that there is a time and a place where we can withstand. Amen to that. That we can withstand tonight. That the devil don't have to win in our lives. The devil don't have to always just have victory in our homes and in our marriages and in our child raising and our church or our finances. He doesn't have to have victory. We can withstand him in that evil day. And tonight the Bible says in verse 13, and having done all to stand. I like standing, don't you? I don't like falling tonight. The Bible says that a righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets up. And so I'm so glad tonight that we can stand tonight in the things of God. God gives us an answer tonight against this devil, against this evil spirit tonight. So we don't have to walk out of here defeated. We don't have to walk out of here doomed, and we don't have to walk out of here tonight distorted in any way or discouraged or depressed. We can walk out of there with victory in our lives, in our hearts. Because God not only has demonstrated to us tonight that there are demons and evil spirits tonight, but man, there's an answer to that. And so we don't have to walk unprepared or without any weaponry. Then he says in verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And And boy, I tell you, where in the world would truth be at? Truth would be where your loins would be at, where you gird about, and where that truth is at. And boy, I tell you, it's the center of your body. And where truth is at tonight is where if you take the center of your body down the waistline, this area right here, and if you have your, for example, if you have a back problem or you have something done with the back and you get that back problem, it's going to affect you completely. You're going to be down. You can't control. I mean, right here is a very important part of your body. If this part right here gets affected tonight, you are in real trouble tonight. The Bible talks about having that your loins girt about with truth tonight. And boy, that's the center of your life ought to be truth tonight. How are we going to defeat this devil tonight? With truth. With truth. Jesus on the temptation, how did he defeat the devil? With truth. He gave him scripture tonight. The word of truth tonight. That's what he gave him. Tonight, truth is always going to overcome the devil. When the devil comes to you and tells you what you are, and where what you're doing, and starts bringing up the past and telling you what you've done and how you've done. I don't know if he's ever done that to you. Just remind him of his future. Right? That he's going to be cast into the lake of fire. And so tonight, truth. See, that's truth tonight. We're not being ugly. We're not trying to be sarcastic. We're not trying to be more authoritative. We're just telling him truth. We know, we've read the end of the book. We know that Satan will be cast into the lake of fire. So while he's bugging you, bothering you in your present, you tell him of his future. Truth. Truth. When did you get saved? When he says you're not saved. When he says that you don't know the Lord. I mean, you might be out and you might be doing some things and you might not be doing some things right. And Satan or his demons, or evil spirits, will come sit on your shoulder and say, you know what? You heard that, Brother Larry. He said, if you're going to be a Christian, you don't live like that. And yet you're living like that. So you must not be saved. And begins to put these seeds of doubt in your heart. Well, just give them truth. Truth on October 30th, 1988, on a Wednesday night. It's not important that you know the day, but you know the experience. That I fell down to the Lord and I received Christ as my Savior. Have I been perfect from that day on? No. Have I ever sinned since that day? Yes. But man, I was gloriously born again. I was washed in the blood of the Lamb. I was indwelt by the Spirit of God. I was accepted by the Beloved. I got a reservation of heaven tonight. I know I'm saved without a doubt in my heart tonight. So shut your mouth, David, Satan. Amen. Give him truth. Truth. And tonight, that's how we're going to overcome this. If you're not tonight, if you're not going to live in truth, if you're not going to live by truth, if you're not live for truth, if you ain't going to live with truth, then you're false. And that's what he is tonight. Amen? Truth tonight. And then he says there in verse 14, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Boy, righteousness tonight. Just being right. Having Christ's righteousness. The breastplate. Cover that up. Amen? For those fiery darts are going to be headed towards that righteousness. But then you got that breastplate. So he wants to take the righteousness from you. Satan wants to say to you, yeah, you think you're saved, but you ought to think of yourself. What can you do in self? I'm going to tell you tonight, because a lot of people are self-righteous. They're self-confident. They're selfish. Self. Lovers of self rather than lovers of God is an indication of the last days in which we live. And tonight, the devil will going to bring up you. He's going to love you. He's going to try to get you to love yourself. He's going to try to raise up how good you are and how right that you are and all the things that you do. You see, he doesn't always have to talk about the bad things in your life. He'll bring up all the good things in your life thinking that you don't need Christ's righteousness. So righteousness tonight, the breastplate. But we need that tonight. And then I look in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And boy, you think about that for just a moment. And And boy, why we need our feet shodded with that? Why we need covering there? Well, how's the gospel going to get from here to there? By your feet. We're going to have to communicate that gospel from here to there. And boy, if he can get us to stop walking, if he can get us to stop talking, if he can get us to stop traveling, if he can stop that communication from here to there, then friend, he's got exactly what he wants. Amen. So there needs to be some protection there. Then he talks above all, taking the shield of faith tonight. That shield that you hold out. And when that fiery dart comes, you just put that shield up with faith tonight. Because, listen, he wants to destroy your faith. If he can get you thinking tonight that your faith is not going to get you to heaven, or your faith is not going to keep you, or your faith can't get you any prayers to be answered into heaven tonight, man, he's got you in a place where he's going to bring you down eventually. Faith tonight. Faith. Faith. Boy, you got that breastplate there. I mean, you got that shield tonight. It says, verse 16, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I like that verse because it says not that you could quench some of the fiery darts, or most of the fiery darts, or pretty much all the fiery darts. No, he says you can quench all of them. God doesn't give us any kind of weaponry tonight. He doesn't give us any kind of armor tonight that Satan can break through. Thank you, Lord. We don't have anemic armor tonight. We don't have no weakness in this armor tonight. It's fully created by God and fully directed by God and fully it is impenetrable. Satan cannot tonight. Listen to me. All of his fiery darts can be quenched. All of them. Tonight he gives us that promise and that assurance. And boy, I like it. Verse 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation. That's up in the mind. Tonight he wants to work on your mind. Amen. He wants you to think people's talking about you. He wants to get you thinking that people don't like you. He wants to get you thinking that your husband or your wife is doing this and doing that. He wants you to think the church tonight is not what she ought to be or what she should be tonight. And boy, he'll get that mind. That's why the Bible talks about that thinking on these things. Things that are pure, things that are holy, things that are of good report tonight. And so the mind, I believe many times we get our minds messed up. We get our minds thinking and get our minds in feeling. And boy, I tell you, this whole helmet right here will stop those fiery darts. And then he says in verse 17, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Boy, I tell you, what a weapon we have tonight. God's Word. God's Word. And I believe tonight when preachers who stand behind this pulpit are like dumb dogs that won't bark, I believe tonight they water down this Bible. They water down the Word of God. And as they water down the Word of God, that Satan, his enemy, the demons tonight, and all of his evil spirits, they are just ripping and raring to come through and come in. And they do. And I'm not saying close down the church. You think about this for a minute, church. Why would Satan want to close down a church that's watered down preaching? Why would you want to do that? That don't make sense to me. Now, what does make sense to me is keep them doors open and keep on deceiving everybody that comes through. You see, keep them under that watered word. Keep on telling them that all you got to do is pray a prayer, get baptized, or speak in a tongue, or have this gift, or have that, or you know, you can have the world and you can have heaven too. I mean, keep on watering down this thing. You know, everybody can preach. Everybody can teach. Everybody's part of the ministry. This, that, and the other. And just keep on watering down. Keep on bringing them in. 30,000, 40,000, 50,000. Why shut it down? Man, Satan's doing a work. Watering down this gospel. I tell you tonight, that's the Word of God is the sword of the Lord, the sword of the Spirit tonight that we have to come up against him. That's why it's so good that I might hide this in my heart. Because why? That I might not sin against thee. Yeah. That's why you and I, the Bible teaches, what are we going to do with the Word of God? Study to show thyself approved. What am I going to do with the Bible? Meditate. upon the Bible. I mean, the Scripture tonight is our very weapon that we can come up against Satan at all times, at any times, and every time. The reason why Brother Chris has told us tonight, because we really do have an enemy there. And so take your Bible, put it near and near to your heart. Like it says in Psalms 119, "Thy servant loveth it." Love the Word of God. Obey it. Keep it near and dear. Make it close, because I tell you tonight, you might be able to try to fight with your hand. You might pull out your AK-47. You might pull out all your knives that you got. You may get a bunch of wisdom. You might have a bunch of degrees, but no temperature tonight. But without the Word of God, you're going to be defeated and overcome. We thank the Lord for His Word. Verse 18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." For prayer tonight is important. Prayer. And so we need to pray for one another, as our brother has said tonight. And pray for me, I pray for you. Is prayer important tonight? Sure. I believe if you can get under that umbrella of prayer, I believe tonight you can get around prayer. I believe the devil don't like prayer. I believe the devil will move out of prayer. You know, the least attended meetings in a church tonight is prayer meetings. Do you know where the devil really stirs up the most? It's before service. You know where the devil really gets involved in our lives is coming to church. You get up in the morning, you're tired, you worked hard. You ought to. Don't be ashamed of working hard. Amen? Don't be afraid of that. Work hard. You worked hard as a mother, you worked hard as a father, you worked hard as a husband and as a wife. Work hard. But you're tired. Kids are fussing a little bit. You run, your patients are running out. They're not actually doing what they want to do. It's Sunday. They'd rather sleep in to come to church. You'd rather sleep in. You get a little argument in the car. As you come to church, kids are a little rowdy. You're aggravated with the husband. Husband's aggravated with the wife. Little words are said. No words are said. Attitude is going. Spirit is growing. By the time you get to church, either there's silence or there's a little bit of argument going on. That's where he's at. When you come in the church, you got to put on your smile now. You got your little church clothes on. You got to put your little church smile on. You got to come in here and shake your hand. You got to act like everything's okay. We had a wonderful time coming to church this morning. Had a tremendous time. We worshiped the Lord as we came. And when you get here, you're so full of yourself, you're so full of anger, or so full of just bad spirit. And then, you know what will help that? A prayer meeting. Yeah. A prayer meeting. I tell you tonight, that will help. A prayer meeting. In our lives, you know what will help in the mornings? Just don't jump out of bed. Just don't jump out of your bed and get yourself all fixed up, get all the foo-foo juice on. Get your hair all fixed up. Get all your face all fixed up. Get everything just right in order. You know, you look at that mirror, and the mirror don't lie. Get you all self together, and you take out, man, 1,000 miles an hour without prayer. Right here, we're talking about the devil tonight. And he says something about prayer in the way of overcoming that. So if there's a prayer meeting at church tonight, I'd ask you to come for you and for the sake of lost people in our church and for the sake of folks that are backslidden on God. Won't you do that? Because the devil's real. We know that tonight. We pray in church before we... In my office, I encourage you to go, every man. Bring your sons. Good way to start seeing how you can pray. Before you eat your food, won't you stop and pray? The devil would love you to just eat. Because when you talk to somebody about the Lord, they're going to say, man, I don't see no difference in you. You ain't got nothing in you to pray. How before you go to bed at night? You know, folks need your prayer at night. Some folks are sick and hurting, and down and out. If you just pray for them, it'd be a help to them. Won't you take time and pray? He mentions that in Ephesians chapter 6. In the way of the armor of God, in the way of the Word of God, and then prayer. Tonight, how about throughout the day? Praying. He said, well, Larry, you're kind of carrying this on. Well, if that's the case tonight, well, then just don't pray at all. Just stop praying. Everybody. It really don't matter. Well, tonight, but it does matter. And I'll tell you something tonight. One of the things that we do least is we do this. The Bible says, and I'm going to close, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And you know what? Tonight, it was requested of you to pray for me. You know what the prayer that I would desire that you have is? The effectual, fervent prayer. Because I need so much. And for what me, you say, Brother Larry, I want you to pray for me, but more I'd like to have effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. Because I got so much in my life. You know, if we're just honest with ourselves and honest with one another, we're a mess. And one of the reasons why we're a mess is because we give place to the devil in our lives. And one of the things that we can help doing that is prayer. Let's pray. All right. Let's pray right now.